back in the jar, the Boss Man Show, joined by the coach of Elizabeth City State Vikings, Sean Walker. Coach Walker, what's good, man?
Just another day's journey. Glad to be here. Glad to be seen. You know, it's a difficult time in the world right now, so I'm just happy to be kicking and be alive and be on this side of the turf.
I hear that, Coach. Let me just ask you this, man. When everything went down in March with COVID, Coach, how did you guys handle that for the staff and your players having to go from being on campus to online and getting guys back home, make sure their grades stayed up high when they was back at home? So talk to us about that process and kind of keeping the guys steady and stable while this pandemic raised through the country in March here and still going now.
Well, it was a very unique time. I tell you, when I first heard about COVID-19, coronavirus, I almost took it as a joke, you know, just thinking corona. And then as it began to propel, you realize we had something serious going on. And then all of a sudden, it's sent everybody home and go to school virtually. And it just really took a toll on, luckily our season was over, and the CIAA tournament was over, but it just takes a toll on your interaction with your players and kind of the uniqueness of everybody being home and going to school online. So, hey, Zoom started then. I mean, first time I heard about Zoom was in March, and everybody's Zooming then and trying to figure out how to communicate and stay socially distant. And so I pretty much would say, just like everybody else, we recruited over Zoom, FaceTime, media and social media took its course. And we try to stay in tune with our players that way. And we're doing the same thing this semester.
And you guys can close to academic advisor, because I know that's a key role during this period of time. Have that advisor lead the guys, look at the blackboard and make sure they're doing their assignments and hold them accountable, man. That role really took a very precedent during this pandemic, that spring semester and summer right there, Coach, for sure, to make sure the guys are on point academically as well.
Well, in small schools like ours, the coaches are the academic advisors. All right. Wow. So here this semester, I don't have an academic advisor in the athletic department. So that's part of my role and part of my assistant coaches' roles. We've even given roles to student assistants and volunteer assistants in kind of tracking what our players are doing on a day-to-day basis, creating schedules for them to sit down and actually study, even though they're studying from afar. Kind of having weekly check-ins, multi-weekly check-ins. trying to make sure that we know what's going on and stay abreast of what's going on with progress reports and assignments being turned in. So you think about academic support for a lot of schools that you probably talk to every day, but you're talking to the primary academic support person at Elizabeth City for men's basketball, because that becomes our task during this particular time.
Most definitely. And you know, and I can only imagine, Coach, during this time trying to figure out scheduling, raising money for the school, and you know, I'm an HBCU grad myself from Tennessee State, so I know how resources are. HBCU schools are very limited, man, and I can only imagine trying to get games played, playing some to make sure you guys are raising money for school, because what people don't understand about small schools and HBCUs is that men's basketball, women's basketball, and football generate revenue for everybody else, take care of everybody else, and it's very key to raise that money for non-conference games and stuff. That could set people back in multiple ways, on staff and beyond.
Yeah. Well, right now, you know, it's difficult. You talk about scheduling games. We're doing so more of canceling games. We don't know what the non-conference schedule is going to be like. It seems like at this point that no basketball is going to be played at least until the month of January. The NCAA kind of has workouts on a halt right now. So right now, we really don't know what's going to happen with our season. Our focal point really at this point is not even about playing basketball. It's about, one, keeping everybody safe. Number two, trying to figure out when we'll be able to have some athletic-related activity. And probably at the forefront of that is making sure that when we do get an opportunity to play, that everybody's eligible. And so academically, guys being away from school – really staying abreast of what happens on the academic side.
And that's very important, Coach, because the main thing is we want to make sure our young kids get a degree, because that degree can take you so much farther once basketball ends, because we are the ball starts bouncing for us all eventually at some point. You may get in the coaching, like you got in coaching, or you may get in the business world or get in the media, but the ball has to start bouncing. You have something to fall back on once the ball stops bouncing for good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Coach, so let's talk to the listeners about the D2 level. Tell us the difference between the D2 level and the D1 level. Things for scholarships, how much you can work guys out, and how much, you know, resources you guys get. Because I feel like people don't understand how at the lower D1 level and D2 level, there's a lot of stuff they don't realize that goes on for us, finances and the money and the scholarships that differ from the Power Fives or the Group of Five schools that you see in D1 as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, for Division I, I've had an opportunity to coach at almost all levels, NAIA, Division II, women, men, Division I. So the striking difference for Division I, there's a few. In Division I, there's 13 full scholarships, all right? Each Division I university has the maximum allotment of 13 scholarships, not meaning that all schools have those, all right? In Division II, you have 10 full scholarship equivalency, all right? And so that equivalency is a major term, because equivalency means you can offer up to the dollar amount of 10 full scholarships, all right?
Okay.
In Division I, there's 13 scholarships. So in Division II, I can break my scholarships up and give a guy $3,000 or $4,000 or $10,000 and make 15 guys, put 15 guys in a bubble of 10. All right. And in Division I, there's no such thing as a partial scholarship. So that's one striking difference. I would say number two, obviously, budgetary wise, in Division II, we're staying a little closer to the vest. We're not traveling quite as much. Most of our trips are going to be on the bus. We don't have the money games. We won't play the ACC schools for big money unless it's unless those games are exhibition games. And then, of course, in Division I, at the smaller scale for HBCUs, a lot of times they're playing a lot of games for money early in the year that are worth $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 for a pop. And, you know, for the most part, basketball is basketball. There's a little bit difference in the rules and the regulations, but for the most part, there's a balance in practice times and the amount of practice that you can have by the week. The NCAA has now kind of balanced us to where after the fourth day of class, you can work 8 hours a week, just like Division I. We don't really practice during the summertime like Division I's do. They can go to summer school and have full practices and workouts in the summer. We don't do that. So the Division II process is more what people would say is student related. It's organized and run by the SAC committee, which is the Student Athletic Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And they vote on what the students want. And once those students decide that's what they want, they couple with the NCAA and we kind of roll that way. So on a smaller scale, it's big time basketball at Division II. Or big time athletics, I should say, at Division II.
Most definitely. And, you know, I must tell you, Coach Walker, I feel like you should still be at Grambling, but we're not going to go down that path. But I know that was you got your opportunity there in year three. You had those guys going. I hate that you didn't get to stay there. But, hey, you're back at home in Lisbon City. You was there all the coach women and the men. So after that Grambling situation happened, how good was it coming back to somewhere you know is home that you knew that you had a roots there and you knew how it all worked, man? And now you're back going to your third year since you returned now.
Yeah, that's a great question, man. You know, Grambling was good to me while I was there. My time obviously came to an end before I thought it would. But I'm still appreciative for that opportunity and having a chance to come back to Elizabeth City. I'll say first, you know, being out of college basketball for a year, it was great to just have an opportunity to be a head coach again, period. There's a lot of guys that don't get a chance to once we lose our jobs, there's a lot of guys don't get a chance to do it again. And so coming back to Elizabeth City obviously let me know that the time that I was here prior to my leaving, that I was well thought of, was able to come back to my alma mater again, be closer to home, to my parents, So it's an awesome opportunity, and I'm trying to make the best out of it and hopefully make the alumni here at Lisbon City State proud once again.
I've been proud to have you, man, because having one of your own is to lead the program has to make the alumni feel good, the boosters feel good, because, you know, because you actually care and bleed the Viking blue. So you know what it's all about. So having that back in the saddle has to make everybody happy. I know it makes you feel like you're at home once again. And I just like you never left at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that.
Most definitely. Now, Coach, also, man, I want to talk to you about a mutual friend of ours, Coach Randy Peel. He talks so highly of you, man. I know he recruited you to Campbell. So tell us a story about how you met Coach Peel and what he's meant to you in your career, man, all these years.
Well, it's crazy, man. Coach Peel was the first guy that I spoke to in 1989, 1990, whatever time it was. I remember him calling me. I think it was on a Thursday night. My high school coach told me that he was going to be calling at 9 o'clock. And, man, at 9 o'clock, that was during a time we didn't have cell phones then, right? It was house phones, and it was still busy signals, and you didn't have call waiting and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I remember him picking the phone up, and he said, "Sean, this is Coach Peel from Campbell University, and you see I'm not late. It's right at 9 o'clock. I like to be efficient like that." And that stuck out in my mind as I've gone through the coaching profession. And even just remembering him from beginning, because, you know, what they say is in literature, we have to look at the scenery. And the scenery is a dictation of what the end of the story is going to be like.
Most
and
definitely.
So when I take a look at my first encounter with him and him saying, "It's 9 o'clock and I'm not late. You see, I'm right on time." To me, looking at him today and noting that we had an interview last week and he was 30 minutes early and making sure that he had everything together and how meticulous he is as a coach. The ending of that story at this point, which is not the ending because our relationship is ever flowing, but it just shows me what a tireless worker he is, what a diligent worker he is, what an organized type of man he is, what a family man he is, how much he loves to be in the gym, how much he loves basketball, how much he loves people, all right? And so our connection today is about the connection that I have with Coach Peel, and he thought it not robbery to introduce us because he spoke just as highly of you as obviously he spoke to you about me. And that's what networking is about. That's what connectivity is about. And that's what makes me think about Coach Peel, man, when I just kind of think about our interactions. You know, I've always thought very highly of him, and obviously that thought pattern grows on a day-to-day basis as we get older.
What's great about it is, no, I'm a media guy. Now, I never played for him, but he treats one of his players. Like, I can call him many time, text him many time, meet up with him many time. We just had a relationship, and I'm not even a player for him. So I just know how he was as a recruiter of guys and being a coach of guys. I watched it at Tennessee State with young men. So the passion for the game of basketball, passion for people, and how he just – nobody's a stranger to Coach Peel. Everybody knows him, and he's real with you. He shoots you straight with you always, and he definitely has love for everybody. And we can't help you out like he did, brought us together as well today, which is a great thing. Absolutely. You know, he just knows everybody in the business. So he's also such a great man. He's inspired me. Now, I'm a radio guy. He inspires me. So I know he inspired you as a coach and in the profession as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And now, Coach Walker, man, I know with the pandemic, man, being able to talk to your young men about, you know, the pandemic and also the killings of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery right here in Georgia, Breonna Taylor, how have you been able to use this time to teach your young men about the adversity they're going to face as young black men going forward in life? Because check off this jersey, you're just a black guy. Like, I'm talking about Hawks gear. I'm a black man. Take off your polo shirt of Elizabeth City. You're just Sean, a black guy. So how do you use this time to teach your young men about what they have to face going forward once they get out of basketball and, man, get in this real world here and also carry themselves a certain way so they will not end up a story or a hashtag?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. Number one, let me say to you that I'm dad even first before coach. And so my son is 6'6", and is an athlete. And has his own car and kind of moves around and and is a great kid, is a smart kid, but at the end of the day, he is also, you know, a young black man growing up in this tyrant, so to speak. So initially, man, as George Floyd happened, and as we kind of paid close attention to the details that we all know about, unfortunately, I didn't speak to my team about it initially. I gave them a chance to kind of process, to kind of listen, to kind of hear, to kind of get engulfed into all the things that were going on. And then after 2 weeks, I came back and says, let's have a small conversation. And I said, I want you guys to process what you think you're seeing. And I want you guys to take a great look at what your eyes are telling you you're seeing. And now let's come back next week and have a discussion. So now that's 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times what we have to do is we have to share with our young people and almost thrust them into a situation where they actually have to think, all right? It's like when you see it and other people are talking about it, it doesn't mean you're really processing it. It's like it kind of running by you. But this is something that you have to make them really consider what you are seeing and hearing.
Most definitely.
And then be able to internalize and verbalize what it means to you, because you are very close of an encounter, just like a George Floyd, to getting the life sucked out of you in broad daylight. You know what I mean? And one of the things I say to my guys, it's like, and I say to my son, I'm like, you know, you got to realize, even back in the days that we knew about the Klan and this lynching and all this history that we know of, all those things, bad things that happened to black people then happened at night, right? Mm-hmm. They hung men at night. They burned crosses in their backyard at night, all right? Definitely. And this happened in broad daylight with a camera. Okay, so this tells us where we are in this society, and we have to be able to do everything that we can to not put ourselves in a predicament. But when those things happen to us, even though we haven't done anything wrong, and when you don't do anything wrong, and you want to be able to live to tell your story. And so, you know, I've said to my son, listen, take your driver's license, put them out on the dashboard, put it out where you can grab it without having to go into, take your registration, grab it, so you don't have to go into the glove compartment, all right? Turn the lights on, roll the windows down, put your hands on the steering wheel. You do everything that you can, so when they flash that light in the car, all of your documentation is there. Everything that you need to do is there. And if, in fact, they take you to jail, I can get you out, but I can't wake you up when you go to sleep for the last time. And so, you know, live to tell about the story, just be ready to go, be able to go home. And we have those conversations with our young men, because the world's not fair. I mean, hey, we just talked about what I thought happened to me at Grambling, and that's nothing. But at 45 years old, I got a real alive understanding that we don't get everything in life we think we deserve. All right. Definitely. And that's not a black or white issue. That's just an issue. And so we need to have a great understanding of exactly where we are, what's going on, and then try to maneuver yourself and pray every day that you don't get yourself in one of those situations.
And Coach, you know, since that happened for me personally, I've been using my show, man, to discuss this issue with our listeners. And I was balanced, Coach. I've lost 4 sponsors since I've been discussing these issues, which showed me about those sponsors and where they stand. Uh-huh. Because if you're going to leave me for talking about social issues as a black man, you never had my back. I was spitting your narrative about the Hawks, the Braves, the Falcons. Y'all good. But when I was talking about my people, what we endure, you want to leave me. So I feel like here in Atlanta, the civil rights hub of the South, really, in Alabama, too. We got John Lewis that's passed away, CCT Vivian, Reverend Lowry, and Ambassador Andrew Young, all historical figures from Atlanta, Martin Luther King, who were part of the movement. So I felt like I had to use the platform I have for good. I'm 33 years old, man. I know what time of day it is. Now, you know this. Probably you and I are the first ones in our family to be born free with all our rights from the fair house, that voting rights, that's rights. Like, my mom and dad were born in the 60s and 50s. They weren't born full rights, but we were. So I, knowing that, I'm going to speak the truth for them and use what the Lord gave me to help others and educate others, whoever will listen. If you change one, you can change more hearts at the same time. So I'm trying to reach this one, and they'll tell somebody else, hopefully it'll compound that way, and we can all get to a point where it's equal for all, not just on paper.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yes, Coach. And also, man, I talked about this, man. Coaching is in the swag, man. TSU's in OVC, so we didn't get to do the full Black conference experience. So how was it traveling the swag, man, coaching that conference, man, all the energy of all those 10 schools in that conference, man, and also seeing them outside of LA? We know how it is in Charlotte every year. So let's talk about coaching in a fully HBCU conference, how that experience is for players and as a coach and the fans.
Yeah, that's a unique question. That's a great question, man. In the SWAC, the SWAC is a football conference. So, and obviously, I had a great opportunity to work at Grambling. And so Grambling is Grambling almost ought to be named Eddie Robinson University, right? It should be because Eddie Robinson walks that campus every day. All right. Roger Fobbs is a great coach, but he's taking over the throne from Eddie Robinson standpoint, and Doug Williams and all those guys. There'll always be a football coach, I imagine, that is an Eddie Robinson guy. And I don't know how the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa could be any more dynamic of a football place than Grambling is at Grambling. I mean, on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays before Saturday games, the RVs are out there. They're tailgating on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Wow. All right?
And so football-wise, now when I started their basketball, there probably wasn't 150 people in the gym. And that was to be included referees, both of the teams, and the scores table, all right? And it just wasn't a basketball place. And obviously, we started to win a little more, be a little bit more competitive, and we saw the students come to the games and the people from the outside begin to come to the games. Traveling throughout this course of the SWAC, it's kind of like that. The SWAC's not totally committed to a following of basketball, all right? There are some good crowds. Texas Southern has been a perennial power there. They're not well – games are not necessarily well attended. But Houston also has a bunch of schools that play basketball and that are well attended. But SWAC's a football conference. The CIAA on the flip side of that would be the reciprocal of what I just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in football in the CIAA, it's not going to be as well attended if you take out of consideration homecomings, all right? But basketball games at Elizabeth City, I'm going to play in front of 2,500, 3,000 people a night, all right? I'm going to do it. All our students are coming to every game because we're the only game in town, all right? And our games are going to be night to night to night, well, very, very well attended. And then, you're taking all that energy to Charlotte in the past, and it would go to Baltimore this year. And then, you have the CIAA tournament, which is a universal Black event, African-American event.
Oh, definitely.
So back in the days when I played, the CIAA tournament ticket was a premium. We were the second largest basketball tournament in the country by virtue of attendance. And the only tournament larger than the CIAA tournament was the ACC. And so we basically outsold tickets to all the Division I conferences, the Big East, the SEC. They didn't have a tournament that was comparable to ours. Now we've kind of gotten to a point where all the people are on the outside of the tournament and they party all day, and the city is still booming with excitement, but some of those people are not making it in the building, and there's still a pretty decent crowd. So from the two conferences, both of them are a little bit different, but the excitement there and the culture there is certainly exciting on both sides, and I've been really fortunate to be able to work in both of those leagues.
Now, how you feel about moving to Baltimore? I'm kind of sad about that, Coach. I wish to stay in Charlotte because right up the road, I-85, easy drive up there, man. Baltimore going to be a little bit of a haul to make it up to Baltimore, man. A little bit of a haul, man. But how you feel about moving up to Baltimore City now, up to Maryland now?
Well, from a coaching standpoint, you know, we always get to a point that we just want to show up somewhere and try to have a chance to win. So the location really doesn't matter a lot. Now, from an economic standpoint, from a location standpoint, it's going to be much colder in Baltimore than it is in Charlotte.
Definitely.
And so, you know, I don't think we're going to get a chance to see what Baltimore is going to present to us this year with this world health crisis that we're dealing with. So it remains to be seen. You know, the conference, obviously, I don't believe, by based upon the things that I'm reading, that Charlotte really wanted us back. They didn't fight to keep us. And it's unique because the conference office is in Charlotte. Like, we moved everything to Charlotte, and now we're moving seemingly out of Charlotte. So I don't know if there'll be a plan to go away, to come back, or whatever it may be. There is a short contract with Baltimore. I do know, I think it's only 2 years. And so it doesn't look like we're going to be going to Baltimore this year for a tournament. So we'll see how it goes, man. We just hope it goes well, and hope Elizabeth City has a chance to win it in Baltimore before it leaves.
Now, how often do you guys play Morehouse and Clark? Now, I know they're in the SIAC. So how often do you play those teams down here down street from me in AUC?
Yeah, I've been doing my coaching career here at Elizabeth City. I have been and played both of those schools. We've gone to tournaments at Morehouse and spent some time there. But we don't get a chance to play them often. The NCAA kind of has Division II set up in regions. So the SIAC is outside of our region for whatever the case may be. And it's just a long trip. So as I talked about, long bus rides, we're 8 hours away. It's a long trip to go. We definitely wouldn't go and play one game. We'd have to go and play two games, but we don't get a chance to play. But, hey, my good friends from Clark Atlanta, Myra Blow, who's the associate AD there, is an ECSU grad. Lynn Dawson, who's the AD at Clark, was here at Elizabeth City State for just a little while I was here just before I went to Grambling. And of course, Brewer over at Morehouse is a good friend of mine, too. So we love to collaborate with them and get a chance to go to the big city down there where you are.
That's what I got for you, Coach, is what's your finest memories of coming to Atlanta, tell you to recruit or come watch ball, man? Just talk to us about your experience in the city of Atlanta and how often you come down here, how you love the city, man, because the city definitely loves you for sure. I'd love to have you down here some more. Just tell us about how you feel about the ATL and the 404, man.
Yeah. Well, Final Four was in Atlanta. I forget the year.
That it was 2013 or 12. 12 or 13.
That was one of the best Final Fours that I can remember. I thought New Orleans was great, and I thought Atlanta was great. Obviously, it's a lot to do in Atlanta. And so I don't get down there often. I've spent some time there when my son was playing AAU, coming down there to Sewanee. To the Sewanee, which is Sewanee Sports Club, which is out there in Dunwoody or wherever it is.
Dunwoody.
Right, and then I've spent some time there. I used to always, before I started wearing custom suits, I used to love to go over to Chattahoochee Valley Road to go to the K&G over there, which is the master of the K&G.
Yes, indeed. The right way it is.
I don't ever go to Atlanta without stopping through there and going over to Freedman's, Freedman's Shoes, which is across the street, and then D&K suits. Now, of course, I shouldn't be saying that because I don't know if they advertise and they should spend some money because we're giving them free advertising.
They should.
But I like going to Atlanta, and obviously the food there is really good. When Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffles was there, that was always a stop that I would make. And there's another spot that I like. It's so good. I can't think of it right now, but I always make my way down. It's in Midtown. It's a really good soul food restaurant. So I love the food there. I love Atlanta. A lot of things to do there. So Atlanta's always a lot of fun.
Coach Walker, man, I'm glad for your time today. Man, this was fun, man. We'll do this again real soon, and I'll definitely be cheering for your team and keep an eye on you. We'll definitely do this again, have you on the show again. We'll stay in contact. If you get down the way, man, let me know, man. I'll definitely make time to meet up with you, Coach.
Absolutely, man. And what we're going to do is I'm going to flip this. Like I said, we're going to do the reciprocal, and I'm going to contact you once we're done, and I'm going to have you to come on my coach talk so you can talk about your experiences there in Atlanta with the Hawks and your experiences with with the Falcons and Tennessee State and all that good stuff, and you'll be able to give me give my coaches and guys a lot of insight. So I want to return the favor, and maybe next week we can get you to come on Sean Walker's Facebook Live Coach Talk.
I can do that. It's consider it done. I'll be there, Coach. I'll be there.
All right. We got it, baby.
Appreciate it. Hey, folks, that's Sean Walker here on the Boss Man Show. Great job, Coach.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh, Family Grind, ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who was that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
All right, you folks, back in the Boss Man Show. Time for JC Boss segment. Bruh, the playoffs started, man. How you doing over there in Memphis, man?
Man, we good, man. Just chilling up here. You know, my Grizz got knocked out in the playoff game, man. So, no playoffs for us this year, man. But, you know, sitting back watching these games, man.
Man, no doubt. Now, we'll talk about his topic first right here. Adam Silver wants to do his play-in game again. How'd you like the play-in game? The pressure of the game? And you know, you got to win two of your nine seed. Win one for Dave Seed. I think it was a cool concept, but, you know, I'm a traditionalist. A2 games to me enough to determine whether you to be the A seed or not. Not need a play-in game. But it was exciting. But Adam Silver wants to go with down the road. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea if they plan on shortening the regular season to down to like 75 or 66 games or something like that, then, yeah, a play-in game would be an excellent idea. But as far as you go keep the full slate of 82 games, I'm with you. I'm a traditionalist also as far as they should definitely keep it the way it is. But, I mean, it's a great wrinkle to add into the mix stuff because the game itself was very entertaining. You know, it came down to the wire. And, you know, it was no way in hell the Grizz were going to win twice in that scenario. But – you know, that past Saturday, you know, when the game went down, the play-in game, you know, everybody in Memphis was tuned in. I'm sure everybody in Portland was watching also, man. So I'm in favor of it if they do plan on cutting down the regular season because, I mean, it would be a great look. But 82 games is long enough to determine who the eighth seed is.
And, you know, the bubble kind of made it happen because, you know, to bring 22 teams that had to make it make sense. And Damon Lillard said that if they can get in the playoffs, he ain't coming down now. So to make it make sense, you had to give some an incentive. And but the Grizz to me did get kind of shafted because over the tally of the year, they were the AFC. We got to the bubble, things didn't go their way. So the Grizzlies should kind of feel slighted, but it was good for the NBA.
Yeah, and I mean, the way it went down, if we didn't have Corona, no pandemic, yeah, I think the Grizz would have held on to the AFC, but it got knocked out the first round by the Lakers. But the way everything went down now, like I really didn't want to see the Grizz in the playoffs this year anyway, after the long layoff and the injuries and everything. It wouldn't have been our best representation of ourselves, of the team. Yeah, so it worked out the way it was supposed to, man. But next year, though, oh, man, the Grizz coming. But then the Western Conference is going to be even tougher next year. You got to put Golden State back in the mix, man. So it's no guarantee the Grizz make the playoffs next year, you know. But I think just having that kind of, like, playoff experience in a way of having to play these games in the bubble and the play-in game, like, that's invaluable for a young team, the youngest team in the NBA.
Most definitely.
Such as the Grizzlies, man. Yeah, so it's all going to work out in the long run.
Now, also, bro, the playoffs are starting. Let's start, like, today, man. Houston Rockets up 2-0 on the Thunder without Russell Westbrook. And actually, they're defending like crazy. Like, they've been in the bubble. The Rockets playing defense. Mike D'Antoni, his team. Defending 2020 upside down again, bro.
Hey, man, the upside down, right? This is the weirdest year ever. You know, everything's up in the air. Everything's crazy. So why not? Why not the Rockets being a decent defensive team, man, in the bubble? Like, I mean, you can literally see the scenario where the Rockets could be NBA champions, man. Like, it's that crazy, man. It really is, dude. I mean, they played two great games so far, you know, without Westbrook. Shoot. I mean, my bad. Can we say
hey, I'll
are
end
the
out.
Rockets a better team?
Yeah.
Are they a better team without Russell Westbrook at this point?
If it comes down to it against the Lakers, no. But against OKC, yes. Like, yeah. This is my thing. Keep him out until you lose and have to play him.
Yep.
You know, to let him rest and recover. So, man, I'm yeah. – hey, if I'm Houston, I bought some time for his leg to heal.
Absolutely. You know, why not, man? They could very well sweep OKC and not need Russell at all this first round, man. So, I'm definitely in agreement with that, man. Rest him as long as you can and then – you know, in case of emergency, break that glass, man. But, like, I love the idea of just having the ball in Harden's hands. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to make the best decision possible. Westbrook is great, but he's still too erratic for me. You know, too many turnovers and just, like, I think the Rockets function best when Harden has the ball.
They do. They do, for sure. Most definitely, because all the eyes defensively are on James Harden. And Russell Westbrook, now what it does do, when you put too much tension on Harden, you have to pick your poison. Is it Westbrook for two? Yeah. Of course, I'm going to let Westbrook go for two, of course. I'm a defense. So, yes, I'm with you there. Pick your poison with Harden in his hands. Go for it. Also, the Celtics and Sixers. Bro, I know somebody going to get me in trouble with my guy Al Horford, but he's finished, man. He got that one last deal from Philadelphia. All the times called up Al Horford bad. And – off the bench
he's
now. Yeah, I love Al Horford, man. That's my guy. But, man, he doesn't fit in Philadelphia. His agent was happy. And he's – if they go that deal with Philadelphia 4 years, $94 million, because, man, he's went downhill fast. And Elton Brand and Brett Brown are in trouble, probably, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, if they get swept or lose the first round regardless, I think Brown's out of there, man. You know – and it makes sense at this point because Philly is too talented of a team to be knocked out in the first round. I know they missed Ben Simmons and everything, but they you would think they would still put up a better effort than what they've done so far in these two playoff games, man. And, you know, they're a team that is underachieving, man. And, you know, while you still have this window, you know, with a young Ben Simmons and a young Joel Embiid, man, you got to go try to win a chip, man. I don't think Brown's the right coach for that team going forward, man.
Just think of how many guys they traded away they could have killed, like Robert Covington, Dario Saric, T.J. McConnell, all these guys, Mikal Bridges with Phoenix now. All these guys they traded away trying to go for the gusto, and now look at them. They're mismatched, thin, and very top and front court heavy. You can't be front court heavy in today's NBA. You have to be guard heavy, not front heavy. They're very much front court heavy with mismatched pieces.
Right. The pieces don't match. You're absolutely spot on, boss. The pieces don't match. I think Elton Brand kind of let his playing days kind of, you know, cloud his judgment there as far as, you know, all the bigs and front court players. But yeah, the pieces don't match, man. And, you know, you got to make a move. You got to fire Brown because you don't want to unhappy Joel Embiid next season, man. You know, or Joel Embiid is ready, you know, once his contract is up to get up out of there. You know, those are franchise corner pieces. But if you are going to flip one of them, the time is now. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to try to flip one of them to get even, you know, more pieces down the road, you know, the time is now, man, to make that happen.
Most definitely. And this series ain't getting too much play because of playing the court, but Jock Vaughn is coaching his butt off for the Nets. He might not get that job in Brooklyn, but he's definitely earning him a second gig somewhere because he has those guys, a G League plus team, if you look at it, playing hard and competing every night, defending some against Portland, some of the Raptors two games. They're playing hard for this man. Probably won't get the job, But he's definitely earning a job elsewhere for sure. Somewhere, at least another shot somewhere.
I've always liked Jack Vaughn, man. You know, going back to his playing days in Kansas, the time that he was in San Antonio as an assistant. And he also had a head coaching gig in Orlando also, right?
He sure did with the manager.
For about a year or two, yeah. So, I've always liked him, man. Good guy to talk to. He's doing a great coaching job. And it almost makes you think Kyrie who? You know, KD who? But, you know, when those guys come back in the mix next season, man, Brooklyn's going to be tough, man. You talk about a big three. You know, Kyrie, KD, and LeVert. Jesus. If they can blend, man, and Kyrie can get in the right headspace, man, Brooklyn could do some things next year, man.
Most definitely. And Alvin Gentry got fired by the Pelicans. I fear it's going to happen to Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta, that, you know, you get them to a certain point, they're going to fire you and bring in another guy to take them over the top. And you took all the L's, dealt all the injuries and hard losses on your record. You can't get another job elsewhere, but they fire you and you can bring in somebody else to take his place. So Alvin Gentry to me didn't get a fair shake this time because Zion was hurt. All them injuries, the pandemic, and the guy's out of shape. It's been about Zion's out of shape. I don't know how much the guy weighed.
Yeah.
He labored out there a minute or two up and down the court. How you hold his ass against Alvin Gentry? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like he had a raw deal here. A lot of coaches in the community are saying he had a raw deal.
Yeah.
I believe he did too.
Extremely. Extremely raw deal, man. It's unfair. You know, that's how it goes sometimes in the NBA for black head coaches, man, as we all know. You talk about a guy that's been there 5 years and everything that happened this year, you know, how can you judge his coaching ability off of a messed up season like this, man? Like, you know, if you are David Griffin, man, at least wait till next season, man. And, you know, I would even been okay with maybe next season, you know, midway point all-star break if the Pelicans are underachieving then, you know, and not meeting expectations. Okay, let them go then, man, but That's no way in hell you can make a decision based off of him and his ability to coach his team, you know, in the bubble and the pandemic, you know. And I think it was really an unfair expectation for them to even think that they were going to have a chance, you know, to make the playoffs, man, when Zion, he's obviously not healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not right, you know, as far as his body, man. He has to lose weight, you know, for Zion to be effective going forward in his future. But yeah, that was a totally raw deal, man, for Gentry to go out like that.
Speaking of a potential replacement, Tyronn Lue, who wants to poach Chauncey Billups out of the broadcast booth to be an assistant coach now. I know Billups wanted a front office role, but he's getting the coaching bug. Now, the one thing about Tyronn Lue, associate head coach, is Chauncey Billups in New Orleans or wherever, Lue might get a job next year.
I can see it happening. Definitely Tyronn Lue, championship winning head coach, man. You know he can do the job. He's waiting on the right opportunity. I thought he had the Lakers gig, about a year or so ago. That didn't pan out. But, yeah, definitely, man. Like, I can see if you exchange Alvin Gentry for a Tyronn Lue or something like that. Okay, all right, you're working with something then, man. You talk about a guy that the players – Tyronn Lue is still a guy that I think players can relate to. You know, he's a player's coach. And they're going to be able to relate to him. And you bring in somebody with that championship pedigree, guys will automatically perk their ears up and listen to whatever he's got to say. Not saying that the Pelican players tuned out Alvin Gentry. It hits different when you're a head coach that's won a championship as opposed to an assistant coach that's won a championship, man. So, like I said, I would definitely be in favor. You know, he's going to get a job somewhere. You know, why not New Orleans, man? I think that'd be a great look for him.
Just don't take the Chicago job. That's a
three-year
firing waiting to happen.
that's toxic, man. That is toxic all the way around, man, that whole Bulls thing, man. Stay away from that.
Do you think, real quick, do you think Mike D'Antoni is saving his job in Houston or no?
I think he has. Like, the way this thing is going, like, D'Antoni, he might have saved his job, man. I think the Rockets are going to advance far. And, you know, say what you want about him, man, and you know, his relationship with the ownership in Houston. But I think he saved his job, man, and is going to get that much-wanted extension that he's been seeking, man. Like, he's doing an outstanding job right now.
Most definitely. And, bro, it's to the NFL. Dez Bryant worked out with the Ravens today, left by the contract. I think this is maybe a way to tamp down them on Antonio Brown, because you know his cousin wants him on the team and Lamar Jackson wants him. Well, let's just do Dez Bryant first. I think Dez Bryant's needs this shot, bro. I don't think he has anymore. That Achilles injury in New Orleans did it. His knees are already gone in Dallas. I know he wants to play, but I think Dez Bryant's time has passed him by.
It has. The only way I would consider Dez being on my team is if he switched positions, if he went to tight end. That's the only way I would consider it, man, because the way the game's played now, as far as being a number one, number two, or even a number three receiver, man, speed kills. And Dez, he was never a fast guy. He was always a guy that can high point the ball, you know, and out muscle and out physical other DBs, you know, to get the ball. So he was never a speed demon, you know. But if I told Dez, hey, man, put on 10 pounds of muscle and let's try you out at tight end, I think he may have, you know, a couple more years left in him if he switched position. But as far as receiver, nah, it's not happening, because you see he didn't receive a contract from Baltimore after the workout, man. And I think the other receiver also that was trying out for a spot was
Dwayne Harris.
Another former Cowboy, Dwayne Harris. Yeah, you know, and Dwayne Harris can do more things. He can play special teams. He can be a punt returner for you. You know, so I think Dwayne Harris probably have a better chance of getting that gig than Dez Bryant. And poor Dez, man, you know, you talk about a guy that was all pro, putting up big time numbers, you know, when Romo was quarterback, man. You know, you hate for him to go out like this, man, but now this Dez, it seems thirsty to me, man. Like, I hope he you know, his finances are good, and he's made his money. You know, we know he made his money. He's, you know, he can take care of, he can't live out the rest of his years on it. But if it's a money thing that he's going after, you know, because he needs it, or does he need the money, or does he just want to play football? You know, it's two different things. Two different motivations there. If you're doing it for the money, you know, maybe that's the reason why he's been trying to, you know, hang in there these last few years. But if you're doing it out of pure love, I can understand it. But you want to be able to, you know, I hope that he would go out, you know, have a better chance to go out than what's happened so far for him, man.
Most definitely. And the SEC, bro, is green lighting fans and stands, man. And, you know, most of the schools in the SEC are in the South, and they're in Republican-controlled states like Tennessee or Georgia, where, you know, we know where our governors stand. They're stooges of you-know-who. And I feel like, you know, they're asking for people to die, asking for a lawsuit, because somebody go to the game, they're playing Rocky Top or go to Vanderbilt or wherever, they're going to get sick. And they gonna come back and try to sue you for it. So make them sign on waivers.
Yeah.
It's SEC trying to push forward for college kids who are unpaid labor, unpaid young black men, and you put them in peril to play games in stadiums and putting fans in peril as well, who are older in the South and unhealthier in the South. Bro, the recipe for the disaster SEC is putting themselves in right now, bro, in my opinion.
It's crazy, man. Like I said, you know, pandemics, but outbreaks are happening. You know, it seems like every day now on big-time campuses, man. Ole Miss, like I said, just announced their outbreaks of, you know, as far as COVID-19 related cases, man. So, man, just shut it down, man. Like, I mean, at this point, man, shut it down. Like, why are y'all even playing, man? If I'm an SEC player, man, I can't go out there and, you know, in good conscience, give it my 100% all, knowing there's a chance I could get sick. I'm going to recover, you know, but what's my, you know, prognosis, you know, going forward, you know, throughout my life, man? Like, what type of ailments am I going to have, you know, health issues that could be lingering down the road, man? This whole thing is just so scary, man. So, you know, these guys, you know, the powers that be are putting them out there. You know, it's all for the mighty dollar bill, but at the end of the day, man, like, come on, what are we doing? You know,
most definitely.
Yeah, what are we doing, man?
And speaking of what you just mentioned, bro, right here in Atlanta, Georgia State quarterback is out for the year because of a heart ailment from having COVID-19. Mm. COVID-19 affects every organ in your body. I guess your lungs.
There it is.
It can really hurt your heart. Remember, an MLB player, COVID-19. Out if you're the heart ailment. So COVID-19 attacks the whole body. It may come in form of respiratory and a flu, cold look, but it's doing way more. It's damaging the body and major organs. And a young man in his 20s, out for the year, with a heart attack from COVID-19. And people were still going to be fools and believe it's a hoax because certain people in power tell them it's a hoax that they want to get reelected as president.
Man, it's wild, man. You know, and it's like one of those things where, you know how when you turn on the news and you see, you know, if you had this, if you had that, you may be entitled to a settlement. That's going to happen, you know, COVID-19 down there. Once they find out all the different ailments and things that can come about, like, that's what's going to be next, man. It's just a scary time that we're living in. And, you know, at this point, I don't blame the Big Ten commissioner for shutting it down because, you know, you got to think about the long-term effect of this thing, man. Yeah, you might recover in the short end of it, you know, if you're a young, strong, you know, college athlete. But, man, when you turn 30, 35, 40, you just don't know what's down the road, man, once you come in contact with this disease, you know. So it's wild, man, that we're actually talking about, you know, putting kids out there risking their life, you know, on the short end and the long end of it. Only in America.
And, bro, before we close up shop, tell us a recap for us, the Essential AF podcast from last week. What you got coming up for the people this week, brother?
Oh, man, Essential AF podcast. You know, we stream live each and every Sunday on Facebook at 6 o'clock. Man, last week, you know, of course, a lot of Kamala Harris talk, you know, her being nominated for the VP and everything, you know, that comes with that, man. We talked about that and broke it down. Man, this week, hey, we know we got to talk about that Sweetie Pie story, man. I know you heard about that, boss.
I did.
I know you heard about that. That's the craziest story in the world, man. Everybody has an opinion on that. You know, that's foul. Like, how can you, you know, take out an insurance policy and have your nephew murdered like that, fam? Like,
yeah,
man. So we go definitely get into that, man, and everything going on in the world coming up on the next Essential AF podcast show, man.
Bro, no doubt. JC, man, keep it safe, my brother, man. Hold it down. And, bro, we both got our Nike gear, so we both represent Nike today as well.
For sure.
Swoosh all day.
Nike gang. And swoosh light. Yeah, all day.
Gang.
Yeah.
All right, bro. All right, next week, bro. That's JC Smith, right, the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.